Hello and welcome again to our broadcast. We call it Plain and Simple. Today we're going to be talking about two different kinds of salvation in the Bible. Jude 1 and 3 talks about a common salvation. Hebrews 2, 3 talks about so great a salvation. Stay tuned for our broadcast today. In Jude chapter 1, verse number 3, we read, Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. It will be a great day for the cause of Christ when we put our commentaries away and compare Scripture with Scripture rather than comparing Scripture with commentaries. Every commentary I have checked concerning this verse says that Jude changed his mind about what to write about, and that is simply not scriptural. The Greek word translated common in Jude 1 and 3 is koinos. This word was used by the Jews concerning something that was unhallowed, profane, or unclean. In Mark 7 and 2, it is translated defiled. In Romans 14 and 14, it is translated unclean three times. In Hebrews 10 and 29, it has been translated an unholy thing. What Jude was actually saying here is that it was needful for me to write unto you and earnestly contend for the faith, because the salvation that has crept in is unhallowed, it is profane, it is unclean, it is an unholy thing. The Bible speaks of a great salvation in Hebrews 2 and 3, and here it speaks of a common salvation. In Jude's day, the apostasy had turned God's great salvation into a common salvation, into an unholy thing. Therefore, Jude said, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Jude continued, for there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, several things are mentioned in these verses. Number one, it says that Jude gave all diligence to write and warn them about the fact that the plan of salvation had become common. He did not give diligence, he gave all diligence. The Greek word translated diligence has been translated with haste in other places. He said, I've got to write you about this. The second thing he said was it was needful for Jude to exhort them that they should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. The word needful has been translated distress three times. When a doctor has a patient that goes into distress, they are in danger of dying. And Jude was very concerned about the common salvation that had replaced the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. The third thing he says here is this apostasy had been promoted by those who had crept in unaware. That is, they moved slowly and carefully in order to avoid being noticed. The fourth thing is the apostasy promoters were ordained to this condemnation. Now, that word has been translated judgment three times. They have been ordained to this judgment for their actions. They were not ordained to creep into the churches. They were ordained, which has been translated set forth in Galatians 3:1, for judgment. Then it says they were ungodly men. And verse 15 tells us they were ungodly men among them. Verse 12 says they feast with you. Then we read they turned the grace of our God into lasciviousness. Then they were denying the Lord. The conclusion is obvious. Pastors had promoted a common salvation, allowing people to just pray a prayer and join the church. And it's happening today as well. There's two types of apostasy promoters in the Bible. And it is obvious that the promoters of apostasy that Jude was referring to here were unsaved. However, Peter warned us about professed believers who promote apostasy. The phrase among you is found three times in 1 and 2 Peter, all of which refer to Christians. In 1 Peter 5:1, the elders which are among you. 1 Peter 5:2, the flock of God which is among you. 2 Peter 2:1, there shall be false teachers among you. We know that Peter was referring to Christians because he said they were denying the Lord that bought them. That word bought has been translated redeemed three times in the New Testament. We're talking about two kinds of people promoting apostasy. Some are unsaved, which Jude is referring to, and some are Christians who deny the Lord that bought them. They deny the Lord, that is to refuse him, like the Christians did in Laodicea. Christian leaders today are under the banner of fundamentalism, and they are the ones who are bringing in this damnable heresy that Peter talked about. In recent days, fundamentalism has become flooded with Christian leaders who are promoting apostasy by promoting their new common salvation that says we do not need to repent to be saved. Well, Jesus said, you do. He said, I tell you, nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. We have many in our ranks of fundamentalists who are promoting the damnable heresy that repentance is not necessary for salvation. A damnable heresy is a heresy that will damn a person to hell for eternity. Gypsy Smith saw this creeping in over 100 years ago when he warned in his message, repent ye. And he said in his message, I am afraid in our zeal to get people into the kingdom of God, we have lowered the standards. I am afraid that in our zeal to get people into what we call the church, we have been anxious, more anxious about heads than hearts. In order to capture, we have compromised and we have lost. We have been more concerned about filling our church registers than the kingdom. Just like the business world, we have offered an incentive salvation. We say now, what we do is we say, if you died today, are you sure you'd go to heaven? We have offered heaven as an incentive. And if you just pray this prayer, then you can go to heaven when you die. It is a fact that Jesus never, ever offered heaven as an incentive for someone to get saved. Neither did any of his followers. Heaven is a tremendous byproduct of salvation. However, salvation without repenting of our sins against God is not salvation. Man needs to understand that we need to fall on our faces and repent before God, even if there was no place called heaven. We have an offended, a thrice holy God, and the Bible says we need to repent because we have offended him, not so we can go to heaven. Not only that, Jesus promised a hard life. In Matthew 8:19, a certain scribe came and said unto him, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever you go. Oh, really? Yeah. Jesus said, the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, and the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Well, we read no more about that fellow following him wherever he went. Then in Luke chapter 9, Christ asked another man if he would like to follow him. He said, well, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. A lot of me first people around today. And in verse 61, we read another one said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell. Christ's answer to these me first seekers of a common salvation was that he was not fit for the kingdom of heaven. In his message when Gypsy Smith preached about repentance, he said Christ never made it easy, and the man who makes it easy to be a Christian preaches a mongrel doctrine. A.W. Tozer warned about our present-day common salvation. Tozer said the crowds at any price mania has taken a firm grip on Christianity and is the motivating power back of a shocking high percentage of all religious activity. He continued, in our eagerness to make converts, I am afraid we have lately been guilty of using the techniques of modern salesmanship. Jesus, when he preached, he said, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. John the Baptist said, bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. When John preached, he said, ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how shall ye escape the damnation of hell? He did not focus on trying to get a crowd. Did John not realize that he would never build a church in Jerusalem preaching that way? That kind of preaching could land him in a dungeon. Yeah, it did. cost him his head. Jesus said, when he preached, he said in Matthew 7, 5, thou hypocrite. Mark 7 and 6, you hypocrites. He said in John 8 and 44, you're of your father, the devil. He said in Matthew 23, 27, woe unto you, hypocrites. Did he not realize that kind of preaching could get him killed? Yes, he did, and he was. James preached, and he said in James 4, 4, ye adulterers and adulteresses. James was preaching to Christians. Did he not realize that kind of preaching might cause people not to tithe anymore and leave his church? I guess so. Paul preached, and he said, thinkest thou that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Romans 2 and 3. Did Paul not know anything about winning friends and influencing people? You can't preach that way and get accepted. No, he wasn't accepted. They ended up killing him. How did Paul preach to Christians? Well, when he preached to Christians, he certainly didn't pamper them. In 1 Corinthians 3 and 1, he said, I, brethren, could not speak unto you as spiritual, but as unto carnal. Did he not realize he could lose some people that way? When he wanted to talk about modesty, he didn't skirt around that either. Pardon the pun. He didn't skirt around it. He told the women they needed to adorn themselves in modest apparel, 1 Timothy 2:9. Did he not realize that most problems in our churches are stirred up by women? Did he think he could build a church by getting the women upset? When dealing with immature Christians at Ephesus, he told them, grow up. Ephesians 4:15, grow up. You mean Paul preached straightforward, telling church members to grow up? Yep, read it. Ephesians 4:15. He spoke to Colossians Christians concerning fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, and idolatry in Colossians 3:5. Well, maybe if Paul had learned some of the modern-day tricks that we have today, he wouldn't have had to write in 2 Timothy 1:5 that all they which be in Asia are turned against me. Over a dozen times, Paul warned Christians about their lusts. Paul rebuked the church at Corinth. He talked about fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, effeminate abusers with themselves, with mankind. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 3, they're lovers of their own selves, they're covetous, they're boasters, they're proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness and denying the power thereof. He said that all about Christians. He didn't pussyfoot around when he was preaching. He said what the Bible said. To the Galatians, Paul said in Galatians 3:3, are ye so foolish? The difference concerning Paul and most fundamental pastors today is Paul was more concerned about preaching the truth and attracting a crowd, keeping a crowd, or building a new auditorium. Paul could honestly say, I have kept back nothing that was profitable for you, Acts 20:20. How many preachers can say that today? Paul said, I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God, Acts 20 and 27. How many preachers can honestly say that today? One reason apostasy has come in like a flood in our fundamental churches is because pastors are more concerned on getting a building and getting a crowd than they are preaching the whole counsel of God. How Christian leaders become apostate? Number one, they receive the truth. Number two, they reject the truth. Number three, they ridicule the truth. And then number four, they replace the truth. That is exactly the formula that's going on today. Well, I have been a Christian since 1955, and sadly, I have watched far too many fundamentalists follow this formula to apostasy. They receive the truth, they reject the truth, then they ridicule the truth, and then they replace the truth. The Bible says the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God, and if it first begin at us, what shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? We have two kinds of salvation in the Bible. We have Jude 1 and 3, Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. That's a common salvation, unclean and defiled. Then we have our great salvation. The Bible says in Hebrews 2 and 3, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Well, the fact is, we won't. Well, we're out of time again. There it is, plain and simple. Be sure and tune in for our broadcast again tomorrow.